Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. You can hear the sounds of the quite sizable surf in the background breaking close to the beach. It's around April every year we get our king tides, and of course with a king high tide comes a king low tide. Holy smokes, it's a 100-meter sprint from the walkway at Bondi to the water's edge. It's quite funny. There are no people down here doing the Wim Hof freeze your butt off in the bucket program. I guess they did a lot of it over the weekend, and that's the topic today of my conversation. I woke up this morning feeling tired, and the alarm went off at 5, as always, or 4:45. I got up, turned it off, got back into bed, cuddled up, fell straight back to sleep again. And I could do that because my early morning coaching session had been cancelled. And I thought, I'll have a snuggle and get up at 5:30. Well, we both fell back asleep and woke up at 6. So what does it say? Well, let's start. If you read anything about sleep deprivation, you'll read that it affects business performance more than any other single thing. It changes your mood. It makes you feel depressed. It makes you negative. It brings on a reaction. So in other words, sleep deprivation drives you to the bottom of the pyramid. Let's say then that in spite of the fact I went to bed last night at 8 p.m., and slept pretty much through the night till 5 a.m., I still needed more. And one of the interesting parts about it, when I look at my data, the deepest part of my night's sleep was in the morning. My heart rate went to its absolute lowest point after midnight, and I was in the very deep state of sleep when the alarm went off. So I needed the sleep, is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes, early mornings, are great. But if you're going to do early mornings, you may need to also have a cat nap. The Oura Ring gives me bonus points for cat naps. So if I get a readiness score of 82 and I have a cat nap, I'll have a readiness score for the day of 89. It'll boost it. It'll also change my sleep score. So the amazing thing about this is that we do love our early mornings here in Australia. We do love, even in Melbourne, where it's asshole freezing cold, getting up early and going for a run or a ride or doing whatever, going to yoga. Sometimes we're doing ourselves more harm than good. Sometimes we need a cat nap. My cat naps are infrequent. I don't plan them every single day. I don't put them in my calendar. But if I finish a coaching session early or I'm preparing for one, I will, and I have 15 minutes, I will put myself in my meditation chair or whatever you want to call it, and try to just nod off. Sometimes I'll watch Seinfeld, which I've watched 1,000 times before, so I kind of like know the script, but it makes me sleep. I enjoy it, it makes me smile, makes me happy, and it's lighthearted. Next part of today's little chat, which is the topic of the day, is exercise. So yesterday, I did a bike ride. We went to West Head together, and we had a ball. The weather was relatively cool, a little bit of rain, and so there was no heat exhaustion. We rode for, I don't know, I think the total was 3 hours of riding. We didn't break any world records, but we enjoyed ourselves, and we did a uphill, downhill, ascent, descent, of about 1,300 metres in total, which is, in relative terms, not a lot, but it was fun. The point of telling you all that was I've woken up this morning sore and a little bit tired physically. I'm walking along the beach. I feel it. And the question is, how much training is enough training? And does it affect your business? Does it affect you at work? Well, having shared my life with athletes who can train a huge amount of exercise and still not be affected by it, what I know is every single human being has a threshold that if they cross it, the recovery time will be far longer than if they don't cross it. And the secret of being coached or professional coaching in sport is to make sure the athlete recovers. You can give a person, like I know one of my close friends is the coach or was the coach of the Lotto bike team in the Tour de France. And he coaches a lot of triathletes and athletes and gives them their schedules. And he always needs a follow-up phone call after an athlete has trained for them to give him their feel score, real feel. And that's like the real feel of the wind. It's probably out here on the beach right now, 13. The real feel is probably 9 with the wind chill and everything. So you can do a training session. The question is not how much training you do. Did you do a 20K run or a 5K run or did you do a bike ride? The question is, what's the real feel? And being accurate with real feel is hard because the exercise is not the only thing going on in your life. Your diet, your recovery process, your age, a whole lot of other factors are going to come into it. And the art of coaching an athlete is to be able to give enough space in a training program for the athlete to say, today I don't feel great, I'm going to back off. Because there's a back off session, a recovery session on Wednesday, and today is Monday, I'm going to do my recovery session because I'm pretty burnt from Sunday. So in your training, when you do that, it's very easy to fall into the thing of, I don't feel great today, I'm not going to do it. And start sort of making excuses for yourself. It's really hard because sometimes you overcook it. You do 3 significant sessions in a row and you feel great because of it, because you're really pleased you did the sessions. You're really happy that you got it done. You're really happy that you performed well. And that euphoria makes you train even harder on day 4 when really you're training on physical tiredness. Garmin have a stress score on their watches. The Oura Ring has a recovery score and a readiness score and a sleep score. All of these things are there, and there's other things, Fitbit and all the other ones. All these things are there to give you a numeric determination to help you with your feel, to determine whether you're recovering. I also know from being a professional athlete and living with a professional athlete that recovery requires rest. Now, here goes an interesting thing. If work, going to work and your work day involves rest from your sport, in other words, sitting in a chair for extended periods of time, then you have to be really careful that your recovery is not becoming more important than your performance in your work. I know for a fact that in my day, my Mondays are always scheduling a lot of my audio production and my video production, and doing the scripts, thinking through what I'm going to say. So it's always easy to start chillaxing, recovering, if I'm physically tired, while I work. Now, that is not a love to, that is not a success. That is not the success formula. The success formula is you are on. And then what can happen is you're recovering, sitting in your office chair, trying to get your energy back from your training, but you need the mental juice to do your work, so you reach for a coffee. And then when you've reached for a coffee, you can just Google what are the chemical reactions to drinking coffee, and you know that coffee drives you down the pyramid. It does not drive you up the pyramid. So yes, it makes you more alert. Yes, it does certain things. Yes, it makes you run to the toilet. It gives you benefit and can make feeling tired workable. But what we have to be really careful about is we're not band-aiding. Band-aiding meaning we're tired, we're in recovery mode for our physical effort, and yet we're being demanded of our work. And to do that, we're drinking extra coffee to try and stimulate the brain. You stimulate the brain with coffee, you're going down out of the success zone. And that's dangerous, because everything we've been working on for this month of April is getting into the success zone. I'm not saying coffee generically is bad. I'm just saying using it as a prop when your body is tired, you're in recovery mode at work, you're sitting in a chair, hopefully because your legs are tired from running or your back's tired from swimming or whatever, you're sitting in a chair enjoying the space. What you have to be really careful about is that if you're recovering during your working hours and using coffee to stimulate your brain while your body is so-called recovering, it is not really effective. So let's determine what recovery looks like. For an athlete, recovery looks like lying down with your feet, knees higher than your heart. So usually on a couch with your legs up the wall or over the arms of the chair, without crimping the backs of your knees, so it's usually supporting the calves. That's recovery. It's usually watching something benign on TV or reading a book that takes your mind off, so your mind goes into a healthy state of relaxation as well. So stress is an inflammatory, stress of worry of work, stress of trying to get it done, stress of doing things is an anti-recovery process. So if you're doing exercise and recovering every day, which is fabulous, but you're stressed in your mind or in your physical posture by sitting up in a chair because that's stressful, then what you're going to find is you're not going to recover. What you're going to find is you're driving your mind down into emotion, or at least righteousness, which is even worse than emotion. And you're going to be in an unhealthy state for the next day and the next day and the next day. With all this, you're going to need more and more sleep. And of course, with all that, you're going to get up early in the morning wanting to do more exercise. So it's very easy to go blind with all this and start to think it doesn't matter. And yet you listen to the blogs and you listen to the podcast and you observe all the material and you say, I want to be in the success zone. and yet do everything in opposition to it. So this needs fairly careful consideration, I would say, right across the board. And the consequence, of course, of not looking after all this is your immune system starts to fade. But worse than that, you come out of the success zone and you start operating down the pyramid in one or all of the seven areas of life. So we get to the end of this podcast today and I'm just about reached Ben Buckler. Just be careful crossing the road here because I only got skittled the other day. What's the recommendation? Absolutely, exercise in the morning is vital. It's very, very healthy. Crossing the line over the threshold of the point where you are really burning into your muscle tissue and burning into your cardio, it's wise only to do that a couple of days a week. Even a professional athlete only does it once or twice a week. But make sure the day after is a relatively work from home easy day for you. There's no big meetings and no pressure. If you have stress the next day or a stressful environment, or if your work is stressful 7 days a week, then it's really wise to be careful what your ambitions are in your training and sport. There are devices that will help you understand all this. And I know when a person gets angry with themselves or with the world and they don't let it go, let's say an event happens last month in your work where you didn't get a pay rise or somebody at work complained about you or something, it's really easy to say, I'm over, that's not affecting me anymore, but then start to get ambitious about your sport. And what that is a very typical way people, especially athletic adrenaline junkies, start to deal with stress. They start creating new sport goals. You know, I'm going to climb a mountain or go to Mount Everest or something like that. And they start developing sporty goals because they're frustrated. All of February was spent talking about the danger of frustration. And the most dangerous frustration is a frustration that isn't reconciled quickly. And sport, unfortunately, is one of the ways people have a go-to to avoid dealing with the thing that frustrated them. They say, I'm over it now, I'm in a good place, but really they're not. And so I would be inclined to say, if you're a business person and your definition of success is about work and money and all these things, and you start getting sport ambitious, it's because you've failed, in a sense, to deal with frustration at work, frustration in your career, frustration in your financial area. If that's your definition of success, if you're an Olympian, different story, because the frustration might be that you lost a race or you didn't do something well, and your ambition is that, and work is the secondary thing that you do to pay for your new running shoes or swim cap or whatever. So there's a couple of thoughts on that topic. This could go on forever. I do a lot of research in this area, especially as I love sport and I love exercise. I'm going for an ocean swim when I put this call down and it's cold and windy and all that stuff, but I just love exercise. But I have had to work it out that there is a point at which my exercise starts to run the routine and the rhythm of my life. And I really don't call being an Olympian my success formula or being an age group performer in Ironman more important than my work. Now, there are a lot of people who retire at 50 and basically say, you know what, I've reached the pinnacle of my career. I'm just going to coast for the next 15 years till I'm 65 and live happily ever after. And in the next 15 years, I'm going to do everything I can to enjoy the fruits of the previous 50 years by running Ironmans and triathlons and goodness knows what. And I really think that's great. Shift, if there's enough money in the bank and there's done enough work, shift the focus. Shift the focus. That's easy. There needs to be a focus. So with all that said, I think there's enough information on the table for you to come to coaching with some questions about what would be good for you and at what point and what is your target and how do you make sport and health and activities sustain you long term and make you a healthier person. And I just want to finish off with a little home truth. So over the last 6 months, I put on a few kilos and I felt really inspired to reduce that by just simple dietary management. And it's going down, you know, a few grams a week. It's not going down rapidly. And I've had to learn to like being who I am as I am. And it's put a big question mark on how much sport can I do on a daily basis without decreasing my ambition to be fit and healthy and strong. And so what I've been trying to do is work out what's the minimum I can do from a bike riding point of view. What's the optimum, probably is a better way to say, that I can do that gives me A, recovery, B, keeps me so I can ride 100 kilometers a day on a bike, holds my ambition of at the end of the year doing the north to south Tasmania cross country with Jess on the bike. So in other words, keeps building towards an eventual outcome that I'd like to do, which is not really that dire, but will require bike fitness without thinking that I'm a Tour de France athlete and blowing it out. And the optimum amount of training is far less than I thought. I have to own it. It's far less than I thought. Now, if I was doing criteriums every weekend and racing people and being competitive, it would be a lot more than this. It would be far more than this. But it's not. And I'm not. So, what I want to say is that it's a very individual thing. We do need to go to the gym and do some strength work. We do need to do aerobic fitness, which is jogging or swimming or something that gives you good heart-lung connection. We do need to do some anaerobic work. But more important than all of this, we need to recover and make sure that the recovery process is not being interfering with being on target in the success zone at work during the work day. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.